This is Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Sheila Rogers. After our break, it's time to march, march, march. You are listening to Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1, Sirius 137, and CBC.ca. I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Sheila Rogers, and this hour we'll have music that will stiffen your backbone. Anthems. My guest is enamored with them. In fact, on his website, he has more than 400 national songs. More than there are countries on this planet, quite frankly. That's because some countries have had several versions. Anthematologist David Kendall this hour. But to start off our conversation, a little bit of music that sounds sort of familiar. Is a bit of the national anthem of Liechtenstein. Of course, you will also hear the tune To God Save the Queen when you're in England, and that cross-border melody sharing is just one of the many anthem facts that my next guest knows very well. David Kendall is an anthematologist in Winnipeg. In fact, he came up with that term, anthematologist, and for the past 20 years, David has followed how national anthems have evolved around the world and how those anthem changes have reflected changes in the world. And David Kendall joins me from Winnipeg. Welcome to Sounds Like Canada, David.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, we heard that anthem there, Liechtenstein in England. It must be confusing when you get to a soccer match or something between these two teams.
Yes, in fact, I heard a story once about how they did actually meet at a soccer tournament, and there was a bit of a debate. Well, how are they going to play the anthem, Liechtenstein and then England, or what are we going to do? And finally, they just played it once.
And the English players could mouth their words, and the Liechtensteinians could do theirs.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Now, this is tells us a little bit about how borders might be on a map, but they may not even exist, right? Even the Star-Spangled Banner is a tune that we've heard elsewhere.
Yes, the Star-Spangled Banner actually got its start as a good old English drinking song, if you could believe that.
I kind of like the image of these guys sitting around a pub singing national anthems. That's my kind of national anthem. Now, you've coined the term anthematologist to describe yourself. Why did you invent that name?
Pretty much because it needed a name. There's people, for example, vexillologists study flags, entomologists study bugs, but there wasn't really, as far as I could tell, a term for people who study anthems. There's been a few other anthematologists, I guess, who've used the word anthemists, but I don't know how it's caught on. In fact, I don't know how much anthematologists has caught on, since there aren't that very many of us out there, but I do use it every chance I get in order to popularize the term, and I guess to make the science of studying anthems more of a real science, in the fact that it would have a term, because of course those other sciences didn't have a word before when they started, and now they're real sciences. So,
how did you get involved in this in the first place?
Well, I guess it started back when I was about 10 years old. I was, I guess, what you would call a geography geek in school. I was studying all national data, national facts, national capitals, and I just liked national data. And with that in mind, around 1990, when the Soviet Union was disintegrating, there was a bunch of new countries coming onto the scene. My dad got me a software program that had all the national data of the world, and you can compare the data. And I was really enjoying it, and I noticed, wow, it had all the sound files of the national anthems. I didn't know that many anthems, maybe about 10, which is, I guess, still a lot more than your average teenager. But I was just enraptured by listening to all of them, but I noticed that there was a lot missing, especially the ones of the new ex-Soviet states. And I set in mind to, well, I got to find the breaks in these and find out what the anthems are that I'm missing. And I remember I wrote to a few embassies to find out about their anthems. In the course of it, I would find out more about the anthems that I'd already heard the melodies of, and it grew from that point.
So you're in school in a cafeteria, and all your buddies are going, hey, man, did you get the new Nirvana CD? And you're like, forget that. Did you hear the new Belarusian anthem or something?
Pretty much, yes. And then later on, I started the the website that I have up on National Anthems, when I started to go online back in the mid-90s, I was, I guess, an early bloomer in terms of net adoption, I found that there wasn't very many sites out there which had information about the National Anthems. I knew more than most of the sites out there, so I began collating all my extant knowledge onto my website, and I guess it grew from there.
Well, and in keeping with your scientific perspective, you've actually, if you go to that website, you'll see that you've categorized a number of the anthems into different families. What are some of the families that you've noticed?
You can't really have a study without doing research of your own, I guess, and that's one of the first research that I've done. Actually, back when I first started hearing all the anthems from the software program, one of the first things that jumped out at me was, hey, wait a minute, a lot of these Latin American anthems sound the same. They all have these grand operatic tones to them. They have a slow part in the middle. And when I found out the words all seem to talk about the same kind of thing, the country's history in about six or seven verses. I first noticed that family of anthems right away, what I later called a Latin American epic anthem, because they tended to be in Latin America. They tended to be epic anthems.
Well, why don't we have a listen to one of those?
Okay.
This is the national anthem of Uruguay. So that's certainly operatic, as you said.
Very much so, yes. You could just picture an opera singer just singing there, belting out words to it.
Oh, and there's a little bit of that peaky music. Bum, 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 bum.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes on for minutes, right?
Yeah, a lot of the epic anthems go on for three, four, five minutes. And as I said, a lot of them have six, seven, eight verses. I got an email once from somebody in one of those countries that said that in school they had to learn all the verses so that they can learn their country's history through their anthem.
Well, maybe that's it certainly helps them work on their memorization, I would imagine.
Not to mention standing for long periods of time.
So the soccer players, no wonder their legs are so strong in Uruguay. What do you think of those long anthems? Is that something you can lose yourself in it for that long?
Well, it's something that, as I said, caught my attention right away.
Yeah.
You definitely can't forget an anthem when you've been standing for it for 4 minutes.
And yet, although on the other side of the spectrum, you talk about shorter anthems.
Shorter anthems, yes. And I noticed, again, when I was looking around at a lot of the anthems, a lot of the Gulf states either currently have or more likely nowadays, used to have just quick little fanfares of anthems. Back in the days when they were ruled by emirs, and of course some of them still are, there would just be a quick little fanfare to announce the emir. Sometimes they would have words talking about how great the country or the ruler is, and that would be it, pretty much.
Why? Do you discover a reason for that, do you think?
Probably the same reason that a lot of Latin Americans have their particular music. That might be what other countries in the area have, and what is just normal for that part of the world, I guess. They might not really be into displaying anthems much as we know them. I know in Kuwait you don't really hear the anthem at all, even on independence celebrations.
It's not part of the same.
So why have a long formal anthem when you can just have something quick?
Well, we even have time to play a full national anthem here, believe it or not. This is O Uganda, Land of Beauty, and I think actually it's only about 30 seconds long. Let's just listen to the whole thing. That's it.
Although, if you might notice a bit, it sounds a little bit like the style that we have for Canada, mm-hmm. a little bit like the style that we have for Liechtenstein or United Kingdom, whichever one you want.
Although it's funny, if that were played at a Canadian hockey game, everyone would still be standing up with their beer and their foam hat or whatever. Oh, it's over already. Time to get back down. You are listening to Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Sheila Rogers. And right now I am speaking with David Kendall, who is an anthematologist based in Winnipeg. Now, you actually haven't traveled the world very much. I guess you've traveled it metaphorically.
As I said, one of my hobbies, when I was a kid and still now, is looking at maps. And, of course, the maps you get to travel the world that way. But for the anthems, you learn a lot about the countries when you learn about the history of the anthem and the words behind the anthem. And you get to learn a lot about the country that way. So, in essence, why save yourself the $1,000 plane ride to France or Africa or whatever when you could just sit at home and learn a lot about the country that way?
It's funny you mentioned France. It brings me to mind of another element of a lot of national anthems, and even to a certain extent the Canadian national anthem with the original French lyrics. But like La Marseillaise is, savage soldiers coming into your midst to cut the throats of your sons and your wives. When I hear that song, in fact, let's just hear a little bit of the French national anthem to give you a little musical background to words such as that. Gory words and anthems. Maybe they work in Casablanca when you're trying to send a message to the Nazi soldiers, but when you're getting in front of a soccer match or something, maybe it's not the right imagery.
You really don't tend to think of France, a country that's very peaceful and, of course, is famous nowadays for being openly against the war on terror, for having these great bloody lyrics. But then you got to remember the French national anthem was written at the heart of the French Revolution, which was one of the most bloodiest times in French history, for sure. Then you had guillotines all over the place, and all those bloody imagery that you hear in the lyrics was just common day in France. Now, of course, here it is, 200 years later.
Yeah, without rewriting history, maybe it's time to rewrite some of the words to these anthems.
Yeah, and a lot of that debate does come up from time to time in France, but then, of course, you got to think about every time you hear da-ba-bum-bum-bum-bum, you think of France. Mm-hmm. They play that just the first couple of bars in the movies, and instantly you know, okay, this part is set in France.
And do you like the French national anthem? I sort of wonder if you even have a favorite national anthem.
Oh, a lot of people try to ask me what my favorite is. It's, I guess, kind of like asking a parent who their favorite child is. In a sense, you don't really want to say, well, I don't like this one, because then, of course, people are going to write in from that country saying, what do you mean you don't like my anthem? They all, of course, have their own charm to them. Personally, I tend to go for the kind of music that has more of the bombast to it, like the French, like the old Soviet anthem, things like that. It's kind of music I personally tend to enjoy. But of course, any anthem, I can't turn it down.
Do you like O Canada? Does that fit into that?
I do like O Canada. Yes, it has its own flavor to it, and it's very unique. Of course, it's one of the only ones out there that not only has an official French and English lyrics, but the French and English lyrics are, of course, say two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few anthems out there that have two languages, but they're usually just translated one into the other. So that's one of the interesting things about O Canada. And, of course, being a Canadian, I tend to run across information on that more than any other. So the more I tend to read about it, the more I tend to discover a little bit more about it. And
Do you tend to sing along in English or in French or in both?
Well, usually when I go to like a hockey game or a football game or whatever, I usually tend to sing along in French, even though the rest of the stadium in Winnipeg is singing along in English.
Huh.
Probably because I'm a bit of an anthem purist, as it is. The original French lyrics, they've been original since the thing was written in the 1880s. The English lyrics weren't written until at least the 1930s. And they haven't changed at all, whereas, as you know, the English have always changed it. Of course, I know the English lyrics by heart, as most Canadians, I think, would.
But you're a stickler for history and detail, too.
Yeah, exactly. It's the French lyrics were first, and it gets couple of looks every now and then, so I get to talk about my hobby.
I want to play an anthem here, too, which you made a bit of an address to, but it's one of those anthems that Canadians have had a kind of a love-hate relationship with over the years, because it, especially around this time of year when there is, for example, junior hockey tournaments going mm-hmm. on, they don't necessarily like to hear this one at the end of the tournament, but here we go. The hymn of the Russian Federation, and you talk about an anthem that's changed along with politics. That one certainly has, eh?
Yes, a very interesting story behind that. Of course, older Canadians, especially those who remember the 72 Summit Series, would remember the exact same melody as the tune of the old Soviet
anthem.
That's
right.
And, of course, that was in place from the Second World War until the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, when, of course, they figured they had to have a new anthem. So the President Yeltsin had an anthem, but it was wordless, and a lot of Russians were complaining, well, hey, what's with this wordless anthem? We can't really sing along to it. So they had a contest to write lyrics, but that was at the very end of Yeltsin's term. So in came Putin and said, I'm just going to replace the whole thing. I'm going to bring back the old Soviet melody, and as we've seen from Putin's politics lately, he has been a bit of a Soviet sympathizer, mm-hmm. if I can say that.
Yeah, well, former KGB guy, you know.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Yeah, he brings in the old melody and new lyrics, coincidentally written by the same guy who wrote the original Soviet anthem lyrics back in 1944. The guy is still alive in the year 2000, writes new lyrics for it, but the melody is still the same, and even some Russians who don't agree with the communist system at all tend to identify with that anthem, because of course they've had it since 1944. That says Russia about as much as La Marseillaise says France.
True enough. There's a kind of a grudging admission that it's a beautiful tune, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to say, well, I don't agree with the politics, but man, they sure can write anthems.
Yeah, for sure. Are there places the map is still changing? Different countries. Afghanistan is a place Canada's taking a look at right now. Obviously, we're involved in that, or I shouldn't say taking a look at. Our gaze is on Afghanistan. What's been going on with music in places like that? War zones and places that are changing so drastically and so quickly.
Yeah, and a lot of times when the politics change, of course, the anthem changes, mm-hmm. sometimes because they talk about the old style of government in the anthem, or they'd talk about the old rulers or whatever. Afghanistan is one of the places that have changed its anthem probably more than anyone else. I think it's gone through at least six anthems since the 1920s. Iraq is, I think, on its fifth or sixth anthem since the 1930s. And interestingly enough, speaking of Afghanistan, back when the Taliban was in power in Afghanistan, one of the things that they ruled in Afghanistan as part of the laws that they made as part of the strict Islamic code is that no music was allowed in the country. So, of course, no music means you cannot have a national anthem. Mm. So Afghanistan was the only country who did not have a national anthem.
I wanted to play one final anthem here, and then this one, we'll play a little of it and just see if anybody who's listening right now will recognize where this one's from.
Do I count?
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, you can jump in on this one. David, I know you know it. Tell our listeners, where is that from?
Yes, that actually is not a real national anthem at all. It was used as a fictitious national anthem on, and if you're a fan of the program, you would recognize Star Trek. yes, in one of the episodes of the Star Trek series Deep Space Nine, it was used as the anthem of the Federation before they played a baseball game. And I included it on my site not only because I'm a fan of the Star Trek show, but also to show that anthems has been used in ways more than just having national anthems. There's been plenty of movies and television shows which take place in fictitious countries. So, of course, when you have a fictitious country, you have to have a fictitious anthem.
Yep. David, this has been fascinating. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
David Kendall is an anthematologist, which is not his day job, just his full-time passion, in Winnipeg. And you can find his very thorough website on anthems by following the link at our website, which is cbc.ca/soundslikecanada.